And a lot of it, I kind of felt helpless because I didn't really know what to do or how to support at different times. Other times I knew the answer. Some of those times I could know the answer, but it wasn't necessarily what Terry wanted to hear at that time. You know, really, I had to learn a new level of patience and grace because of it. To know that she might have been sitting there on a chair, wincing in pain, and the best thing that I could do was just to be quiet and be there. We really worked on the communication piece. So if something was right, wrong, or Terry felt a different way, we talked about it, we communicated. And I don't think we're here today if our communication wasn't as strong as it was.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here, we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did, and that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope.
With a little hope, you can make it through today.
Welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. So glad you decided to join us today. We've got a great episode ahead with special guests, Drew and Terry Neiman. Terry is a brain injury survivor, and she received the first of multiple concussions in 2013. She suffered her first concussion from a bicycle accident, and then she experienced a number of other concussions after that. And so Drew, her husband, and Terry together are a team that have their own podcast called A Battle Within. And I was on their podcast last year. If you want to check it out, look up A Battle Within. Christabel, you could probably Google that and it would come up. And I really, really enjoyed being on their show. And so I have been looking forward to the day when I could return the favor and have them here on Hope Survives. And today is that day. So they are going to talk about the survivor-caregiver partnership and communication and kind of what it's like to be married but also have the survivor-caregiver relationship. They're going to talk about some struggles with depression and mental health and mindfulness and, you know, how to deal with that push and pull of independence with allowing the survivor to be more independent, but yet also helping to take care of them and kind of what that's like. So it's a great conversation, really, really encouraging, and they get really real, and it was really fun to talk with them. So I look forward to sharing this with all of you. And I just want to thank you for being here and part of the podcast family. So let's get started. I started Hope After Head Injury 10 years ago, and it has grown into a global online support community. You can get involved and check out more of the online resources we have available at hopeafterheadinjury.com. Connect with survivors, caregivers, and family members through our Zoom meetings, our Facebook support group, or the Brain Injury Bible Study group. I remember what it's like to feel so alone with brain injury, and my goal with these groups is for you to know that you are not alone and to be able to connect with others going through similar circumstances. We are in this together. Now, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast and remind you that this podcast is for education and informational purposes only and not intended for medical advice. If you need specific medical advice, please consult your physician. Now, thanks for listening, and let's get on with the show. I'm here with Drew and Terry Neiman. I am thrilled to have you both on the Hope Survives podcast today. They are an amazing dynamic duo in the brain injury podcast world. So they have their own podcast called A Battle Within that has over 100 episodes. They have interviewed so many people. I highly recommend checking it out. I have been a guest on their podcast in the past, and now I'm so excited to have them here on mine. So welcome to both of you.
Hi, thank you for having us. It's so fun to be on this side with you now doing the interviewing.
Yeah. Thanks, Christabel. Good to be here.
Glad to have you. So just to start out, would you guys like to introduce just a little bit about who you are and why you started your podcast and why you're passionate about brain injury?
Go ahead. You go first, Terry. Okay. You go first.
I'm Terry Neiman, and I am the survivor or warrior, as we like to say. And our podcast is called The Battle Within, and we call the survivors warriors and battle buddies for the caretaker support person. So I have survived 3 concussions in 3 years. Originally, when the podcast was brought to my attention by Drew, as like, this is something I want to do, I was not on board. I thought, why would anyone want to listen to that? No, that's crazy. I can't do that. I can't see it. Then I said, I'll be in for a little while. As long as it's making a difference for somebody, then I will stay. So occasionally Drew will show me how it's making a difference, and I just keep staying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, from my perspective, getting involved in producing a podcast was something that I've been interested in for some period of time. I was actually an early adopter to podcasting in itself back in the old days where you go to the computer and download it to your Nano, whatever the product was called, you know, back 10, 12 years or so ago. So I was an early adopter, and I became interested in having my own program eventually. And I thought that if I ever had a program, I wanted to do one that was going to be helpful to people. And it just so happened that when Terry was in the throes of her third concussion, and she had PCS because of it, I also found myself kind of frustrated because there wasn't at that time a lot of resources that were available to people that were in my role. So I decided I was going to combine the need to have resources available to me, / try to do something productive for the community that we were all of a sudden thrust into. So that's why I brought up the idea to Terry to do it. A Battle Within is a very intentional name for us. What we're speaking to there is that each individual's brain injury, as we all know, is kind of unique in its own way. And a lot of the struggle, especially early on, I would say, from the seat that I sit in, there's also a very strong component where that person is still trying to find themselves or the new version of themselves. So it's an internal struggle. So that's kind of the theme, mm-hmm. where we talk a lot about the mindset and, you know, change and so on and so forth. So that's kind of the foundational, I guess, reasons for it. Hopefully mm-hmm. that answers it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate what you said, Drew, about how there's not too many resources that out there for somebody in your position. So as a husband caregiver, there are different caregivers. There's like a parent caregiver, there's a child caregiver, spouse caregiver, there's professional caregivers. And so your perspective as a spouse caregiver, can you talk about what it was like to watch Terry go through her concussions?
Well, I mean, I think it goes without saying that it was pretty darn hard. I would say that in a lot of it, I kind of felt helpless because I didn't really know what to do or how to support at different times. Other times I knew the answer. And some of those times I can know the answer, but it wasn't necessarily what Terry wanted to hear at that time. You know, there's components to it as well there. And really, I had to learn a new level of patience and grace because of it. I had to learn to know that she might have been sitting there on a chair, wincing in pain. And the best thing that I could do was just to be quiet and be there. You know, so it took a lot of learning and adaptation. But to Terry's credit, though, even in the throes of it, we really worked on the communication piece. So if something was right, wrong, or Terry felt a different way, we talked about it, we communicated. And I don't think we're here today if our communication wasn't as strong as it was.
Sure.
You know, I would say that. So, and there, and kind of a breaking point for me where it's like, okay, I'm going to do this, was one day I was at a doctor's appointment with Terry. And I would go because cognitively Terry wouldn't necessarily pick up and remember everything that the doctor said at that particular point about her care. So I would go and kind of support and absorb it all on her behalf and, you know, remind her later on. And Terry stepped out of the room to go to the restroom. And I said to the doctor while she was gone, "Dr. Rochester, what can you offer to me? You know, I don't know. I'm struggling here." And I quote when he says, "Drew, I have no idea. You have to tell me." That's when I knew. So I kind of muddled my way through it because for me, that's all I could do. And with that being said, we're not strangers to brain injury because my sister's had one for 30 years now. Mm-hmm. So it was still, even with that experience with my own sister, and Terry and I were caregivers for her for a period of time, it was still something new to me. Because it was my spouse, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And your relationship, I'm sure like there's some sort of change that would happen in the relationship. But what are some things that you have found in your routine that helps you guys to communicate or that helps you guys to kind of get through those hard moments? What are some things as a married couple that you have found that helps that you can share as encouragement for our listeners?
Well, speaking on the side of what Drew does well and that I see all the time is he just checks in. And he checks in regularly and he means it. It's not just in passing, by the way, and I don't really have time to really listen. He is stopping, showing that engagement. Like, how are you doing today? Like, he's sincere. He really means it. So that check-in isn't something that I would, if it, you know, when someone's passing by you checking in and you're just like, yeah, fine, everything's good. But that's, you know, Drew's not looking for that. And he's obvious with that. When he checks in, he really wants to know. He wants the truth, whether that's good or bad and, or a combination of good and bad. And so I learned that it was a safe place to tell him, to talk with him, because he really wanted to know, even if he couldn't help, but he wanted to just know.
That was important.
So that was important. Yeah. So that's a regular thing in the morning. He will check in. He will check in when he gets home from work. He just checks in regularly. So that's really important. It just sends a big message to me. It's how you check in with a person. You're really engaged. You're really listening. You really care about the answer. That's important. The communication between us was a lot of a give and take all the time, but we were I think we were always good with that.
Yeah, we were always good communicators. This just brought it to another level.
Yeah.
You know, and there was actually one time where I was overbearing. And again, just because of the openness and the transparency, Terry said to me, "Drew, you need to stop. You need to let me do this." And at first it was like, "Oh my God." And I was like highly insulted.
He was lost.
You know, I'm like, "God, I can't believe it, man. She's being mean to me," whatever it might have been. But the truth of the matter was, Terry was at a point at that juncture where she's like, "I got to do for myself, and you need to back up and allow that to happen." You know, so
and to your credit, he did.
Yeah.
So he was so used to being in the role of "I'm taking over this," but when I felt I need to begin to try and what in this area, I think I can. Let me try. And it was a struggle. It wouldn't have been Terry of old how I did it. And immediately he, you know, comes to the rescue, and I was like, "No, to stop. I really need to just do this. And there are times where you have to let me do it. You have to let me, even if it means I fail a little, because how else do I know?" And that really got to you.
At first it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
At first it did, because I felt like I was almost like failing.
No,
you know? But I had to reflect, you know, mm-hmm. And realize that it was actually the best thing. So I would say there was a lot of that.
I want to say something more about really important, I think, to your question, is to start, find other things that you can do together, because a lot was taken away. So what else can you then do together that, you know, there is a new normal for you, but you're also creating a new normal in your activities and abilities and things like that. So do it together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think it's just as important to do things apart, you know?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I would say that too. There's certain things now, wasn't always this way, you know, in Terry's healing process here, but mm-hmm. where we are now, there's things that Terry is very particular, very much enjoys, and that's Terry's thing. And there's the same thing with me, you know? So I think you can't.
Drew got new headphones because I vacuumed his cord up on his old ones and busted them, and he's struggling with them, but really he has one nice ones like me. I felt so bad, but I was like, well, at least the mat's clean. I cleaned the mat.
And now you got, now you've given Christabel some editing to do.
No, I just, because I was explaining because how many times they've dropped out of his ear, and they're like, "He's done how many podcast episodes?" And
But this is a communication thing. So what happened when you vacuumed up the cord?
Well, actually that's good, because I, once I saw that the cord was wrapped around, you know, when it goes in the vacuum, I had to pull it out, and it was all chopped up. So I knew it was not salvageable. And you were actually vacuuming downstairs. Yeah. I was up here. And so I went, "Drew," and hard to hear me when he's running a vacuum. So I was like, kind of unprotected for this minute. He's going to be upset. And once the vacuum went off, I started with, "I'm sorry." And he just looked at me, and I said, "I vacuumed your cord."
You were great. You're hysterical.
He is great. He just said, "Oh, don't worry, I'll get a new one." But apparently did not work with the new cord that he got didn't work with his headphones.
Yeah, I got the wrong one. So I got a new one coming. So
okay.
That's all right. Terry's kind of teasing us there. But you know, with some of that.
Bad timing.
Yeah. There's certain things like that, for example, where in the past I might've gotten pissed. Excuse me for saying it that way. Like, how could that happen? That's just silliness or whatever. But sometimes, what's the point now? What's the point in getting upset about that now? You know, there's just silly things or nuances where Terry's, you know, it's still obvious that Terry's still healing. And sometimes, you know, certain things happen like that, like just wasn't paying attention enough. But to get upset by it is not going to serve anybody, you know? So I think that's pretty much what I have to say on the subject, unless you have anything more there.
I think we covered a lot.
All right.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's all really valuable. And, you know, I think, Drew, that's a really good point on what's the point in getting upset sort of thing in that way, because when it comes to, you know, the survivor caregiver relationship, there's a lot of push and pull because, like you said earlier, there's the I need to take care of them and I need to help them. Oh, but they're healing and they want to be more independent and do more things. And there's this delicate balance between taking care of them and trying to help them. But then also from a survivor perspective, us feeling like, you know, we want to do more and we're trying to explore and gain some independence back. And so finding when are the times to push, when are the times to pull, when are the times to just kind of let it be.
That's part of the battle.
It is a very delicate balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you never can, you know, it's okay to be wrong in guessing that, like, because it is, you're kind of trying to figure that out. And it's okay to be wrong about, like, oh, that was the time I should have helped, or that was the time I should have laid low, because I think in being wrong is lessons to be learned. And that's how you learn. So.
Yeah, that's good. I have another question. I'm going to try and figure out how to phrase it while I'm speaking, because it's kind of forming in my mind at this moment. But when you were talking about vacuuming up the cord, there are a lot of things that I've done like that, that I feel like I'm more hard on myself as a survivor, because I feel like because of my brain injury, I feel like I'm failing and I'm struggling all the time. And I'm doing things like, you know, I've broken, I don't even know how many dishes and cups and just things that really could happen to anyone, whether you have a brain injury or not. But with a brain injury, they're just a lot more frequent. And so I've been trying to work on this idea of like, okay, it's not just because I have a brain injury. It's just a mistake. Anybody makes mistakes, but I feel like I'm more hard on myself because of the brain injury. And I feel like sometimes I have a struggle with my family in understanding, like, I feel like sometimes they're blaming things on my brain injury that aren't my brain injury. Or I feel like sometimes there are things that are my brain injury that they're not attributing to my brain injury. And so do you guys ever feel like that?
A long time ago, back in the day in college, when I was studying to be a special educator, and I was also taking psychology, I had two majors. And one of the things that stood out, a lesson, was that, you know, doctors, when they're reading doctor's books, they start to, I have that, every disease, everything, because it's everything is to a degree. So when certain things like come up and creep up that are a brain injury, there are the people can who aren't brain injured can also have that, but to a different degree. See, so it's easy to blur the lines. Like, for instance, aging things, because I am in that age where there would be aging things creeping, or people will say, oh, I have that memory issue too. Yeah, well, that's just because it's a different degree. But yours is actually true aging. So there is a blurring of the lines a lot of times, I think, because of that. And it's natural for us, it's normal for us to do it. Everybody's gonna do it. I tend to look at it. When I make those mistakes, I go, all right, it's just a mistake. Like, it's just a thing. Like, that cord is just a thing. It's not a human being. It's replaceable. These things are replaceable. That's just a glass, you know? Yeah, it's frustrating. But at the same time, like, what am I going to do? I'm going to beat myself up over it. I wouldn't beat up my best friend over it.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it.
Right.
So if you're not going to beat up your best friend, why are you doing it to yourself?
Yeah, I try to look at it that way. I really do, Christopher. I try to sit there and say, I want to be a better friend to myself. Like a friend, I want to be a friend to myself like I want to be to other people. You know, like, why don't I do that for myself? Show grace to myself. I show grace to other people. So say a friend broke a glass in your house. You'd be like, no, don't worry about it, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. But to yourself, you're like, bam, bam, bad girl. What the heck's wrong with you? Look at your darn brain again, right? Yeah. I say, no, don't do it. Do same thing how you would treat your best friend.
Yeah, that's good. Drew, did you have anything to add on that?
I just think it's spot on. I think it's really spot on. And I would say that Terry has also come to that point, because even in the midst of, especially this last injury and healing process, which was just kind of piling it on. Like Terry said, she had 3 in 3 years. You know, Terry really, really, and continues to, in my view, works at her mindset, just the way that she sees life. And, you know, there was a period of time, you know, Terry and I believe in being as transparent as we possibly can be, that she was really in a bad way, depression wise. I mean, really in a bad way. And she didn't want to be there. And she worked her way out of that, but just changing the way that she spoke to herself. So I completely agree. And I've seen it firsthand. And I do know it's possible for most people to get there. You know, it takes a work based on what we've seen in Terry and slash lots of the people that we've spoken to, you know, in this world.
And interject with that a little bit too. It's still work. Yeah. I still have to push out those thoughts because they can creep up. But I feel like in the beginning, it was a lot of work. It's like, this is impossible and so retarded. There's no way I can do this. Like, this is stupid. Are you serious, people? This is what you do. You have these, I can't do it. But it got easier and easier. And then it became more instinctual. Mm-hmm. And now that's there first over the negative. But it's not that it doesn't creep up, because it does, but I have to say, no. I literally have conversations with myself. No, stop. What are you saying? Listen to yourself. And I kind of snap myself out of it. Because the last thing I want to do is wind up in that. It was a suicidal depression. Like, the last thing I want to do is wind up there again. Yeah. I never want to go there again. So, yeah, it's a work.
And that mindfulness, you're talking about mindfulness of that self-awareness of understanding that you're having a thought. You know, I find with mental health, there is a process in getting to that place of even having self-awareness, because after a brain injury, because of the cognitive struggles and because of the fatigue, the never-ending fatigue and the memory loss and the confusion, it's really easy to lose self-awareness and to just kind of spiral down into this survival mode where every day you're just doing the bare minimum to just get by. And every moment is hard and every day is like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get through this? And you're just thinking, am I going to be able to make it through noon? You know, how am I going to get through what I have to do today? Or how am I going to have the energy to take a shower? My balance is off, you know, I'm going to fall. And, you know, constantly worrying about those things. It's really easy to, when you get so focused on trying to physically deal with the brain injury and all of these struggles, to forget about your mental health. And then you wake up one day and you're in this deep depression and you have no idea how you got there. And so I've been there and I've experienced that too. That's actually why I call this podcast Hope Survives, because I remember what it's like to feel hopeless with brain injury. And so I want to ask you, Terry, what are some steps that you took to grow in self-awareness? Because it's all well and good to say, oh, now I can tell myself, don't think that, or that's not true. But when you're in the thick of the symptoms and the struggles, it can be hard to separate out and to understand what you're thinking and feeling. And Drew, I'd love to hear from your perspective too, as well as in your own life, or what do you guys think about that?
So I just started looking for resources. I'm a big researcher. I love to just look things up and try to find things out. And I've came into the growth mindset, and then
the Four Agreements.
Four Agreements. Yeah. I read book. I listened to books. When I say read books, people think, "Oh, you're reading again?" No, not really. I'm listening. Listened to books that were about that, and I just kept on becoming like a student of it, because for me, when I really want to do something, I want to know all about it. Like, okay, let me figure out what you're saying and then I'll try to apply it. And then I just did started very small. And the first thing I did was I would I started with weekly. I would write one thing that I was grateful for that was good in my life. One thing a week. And I struggled with that so badly. I would just sit there like, nothing. Do you remember that? It's like, no. Eventually, I wrote down anything. It was just like, just write down something. It's got to be something. And that grew. And then it became more. And then I was able to apply a technique where you're like, what do you see that's good, hear that's good, you know, all that. Do you know that technique?
No, explain it to us.
Well, like when you're feeling a sense of like that nothing's really good and negative thoughts are coming in, you just ground yourself by like looking around, like, what can I see that's good and hear that's good and smell. Feel that's good and smell that's good. And I just start grounding myself. I'm like, that's trying to be in the present moment was another thing. I knew that a lot of my stress was coming from like worrying about what my future would entail. And then in the past, what I had lost, but what about right now, what's going on? Like trying just to deal one moment at a time, really. Mm-hmm. And tackling it that way. It was so hard and so small to begin with. But I was determined to stay with it and just keep growing in that. And eventually it's kind of like when you're building that the snowman and you're just rolling that body and the bottom just keeps growing and growing. And eventually you got this big old body on the bottom. And that is what happened. My foundation just kept growing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kept building it out further.
What do you think? What did you say?
No, I would agree with a lot of that, a lot of what you said there. Mm-hmm. I also think that you did a pretty darn good job of realizing things that weren't necessarily serving you in life, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's, you know, stuff on social media, TV, whatever mm-hmm. else. So kind of eliminate that mm-hmm. stuff. And, you know, you like to talk about a lot, like I'm filling my bucket, mm-hmm. right? So you actually started putting into your head things that were bringing value to you and making you feel better. Mm-hmm. You were deliberate in that, I would say. And I think that without sounding arrogant, there were times where I would help you kind of regroup and ground yourself again. Like Terry, you're getting, you're going there again. You're going down that rabbit hole. Stop for a minute. Just stop and think. And so there were certain times like that, I would say too.
Yeah, you were very good at just the right moment saying that, and I would be like, oh yeah, I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. So you were able to see when she was starting to go down that path and help her to be more self-aware.
I would say not initially, because before this time where Terry was feeling that kind of depression, it was something in the 30 plus years at that point we've been married that Terry never had before. So I had to, in some ways, learn and study Terry to a degree as to like, what were some of the indicators and things like that, that were telling me she was starting to go there. Mm-hmm. And then it would also be paying really close attention to the words coming out of her mouth. And really when Terry was speaking earlier about like how I'm present when I'm checking in, that is largely due to that time period where I actually had to learn and really seriously, because it was a matter of life and death at that point. So I really had to pay attention mm-hmm. to what was going on then.
People had to always be with me. So it was like a suicide watch. So yeah, that was, it was an extreme check-in.
Yeah.
Which really made him, I think, brought out that where you went overboard a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Could have, yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the window of time.
Because when it got better, he was still at that level.
Yeah.
It made made you very nervous.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It was harder to let go then because of it. Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm.
So, what is some of the major lessons that you have learned in your survivor-caregiver relationship through this journey?
Wow. In our relationship with this journey, that the relationship could look different and still be really great.
Mm-hmm. Some ways better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some ways better.
I think that's one of the most important ones, because we sometimes don't want to let go of what was, but then something beautiful could be there on the other side. And that was really an important lesson, I think, for both of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would agree wholeheartedly mm-hmm. with that. You know, we've been together for 36 years now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the truth of the matter is we're not the same people we were 36 years ago, right? People change and evolve and things happen regardless of a brain injury or not, right?
And how long ago was the concussion? The first one?
My first one was 2013. Okay. My second one was the same year. And my third one was 2016.
Yeah. A little more than 5 years now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just, we've just chosen, I guess, to a large, I like the new Terry. I like the new Terry an awful lot. You know, there's certain attributes she has now that she didn't have prior too. I mean, pure attributes. I like the fact that she doesn't have a filter now.
I have a filter, but it's less.
You know, she used to be a tremendously over the top people pleaser prior, you know? And you know, if anybody's a people pleaser out there, they know exactly what I'm talking about, that you set yourself up to get hurt, you know, and a lot of times it's really not your fault and you're kind of like almost like an empath with it. But now Terry's learning to kind of compartmentalize and, you know, set her own health as the number one priority, which
you spoke know, to where I got right. rid of some negative things right. that didn't really serve me and right. look to fill my bucket. Like, that's not actually a selfish move.
Yeah.
That is self-love. And that's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So there's certain things like that, you know, yes, we can't ride the bikes together like we used to, you know, cause Terry still has balance issues and you know, that, it's not the case. And mm-hmm. Terry has a little PTSD that's built around that. But, you know, in our future, we're going to get Terry a trike so she can, because she's at that point now.
And context for the listeners, your first concussion was from a bicycle accident, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. So they know riding bikes is, that was when you're, how you got a brain injury. So,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be great to get a trike.
Yeah. That's, excited for that, because we had a guest on that had the trike recumbent and traveled still, pretty much the States, and
he's still traveling.
Yeah. He went everywhere on that thing, and I thought, oh wow, that's awesome. I totally need one. But thinking about it ever since he came on.
Yep.
That's great. So yeah. I wanted to ask, before you guys go, I wanted to ask you to share just a little bit about your podcast, A Battle Within. Can you just talk about what that means? Why did you call it A Battle Within?
Well, we threw around names for a period of time trying to figure out what to name it. But at the end, we came up with A Battle Within, and it's intentional with the singular A Battle Within, because everybody's is different. But we think that's a through line that we see in this community, that everybody has their own. And previously, and we've had some guests kind of talk about it, you know, the roommate or the dark passenger, you know, mm-hmm. people call it a different thing, you know. That was really the intent of it. We wanted to, as I spoke to earlier, I wanted to kind of create some resources for us that weren't available to us. And you know, I realized that having a platform like that could aid in that. But Terry also is a school teacher at heart, and we wanted to have the ability, and Terry did that professionally because she wanted to help people first and foremost. So we wanted to do that with the podcast as well. And we thought the best way to do that was to get really down deep, and we continue to do it to this day with our own story. We'll pick out a theme for a week, and we'll talk amongst ourselves on one particular episode. And then the next episode, we can have a guest on such as yourself, and they kind of share their story. We are of the belief that every story needs to be told. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. You need to be able to tell the story in some capacity. So we're always open to talking to anybody and that is willing to share their story, because there's different people resonate with other different people. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it began. And really, you know, the equity or the reward or the payment, I guess you can call it, for us doing that is really in knowing and hearing from our guests that we've made a difference in their lives. I can't tell you how meaningful that is to us.
Very meaningful. Yeah. And I also felt, and for me in the beginning, I think it was acted a little bit like a support group for
therapy,
me,
yeah.
That I felt there are people that are feeling this way too. I'm not alone. And so often I think in this community, we feel alone.
Yep.
And I just felt like this is great because I'm getting resources. I don't feel alone. I love the connections. It's and we're making a difference. So for me, it was really a no-brainer, no pun intended, folks. just keep going.
All right.
It just makes sense. It just really does. I got to give it to him for all that he does, and he sticks with it. If it wasn't for you, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah. A part of our shtick too, intentionally, Christabel, is that I will work to set up the guests that come on, such as when you came onto the program, or set up the agenda for the conversation, because I want Terry to be as real and natural in the conversations and be almost unprepared. Because it generates, in my opinion, a lot of good conversation, you know, and she really works from her perspective of curiosity.
I bring this episode.
Yeah,
so
she's
showing
a pen and paper. Yeah.
Jotting things down. Like, I have no idea what's going on. What am I going to ask? Like, it's my only prep tool right now.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah. People seem to like it. So we continue kind of with that shtick, I guess you can call it.
Yes. So for all of our listeners out there, make sure to look up A Battle Within podcast. You can visit them at abattlewithin.com and get to know Drew and Terry better by listening to their show once you're done with this episode. So before we go, last question that I always ask is, what is a final word of hope or encouragement that you would have for our listeners today? So I want one from each of you.
Okay. So I guess I should go with dark as it can get, and it can get dark, that there is always a path forward. Just take the one step towards it. One. Doesn't have to be anything major, and it will grow and build from there. And be all right with that. And do a little bit more maybe the next time. And eventually, you will get that hope back. You'll say, oh my, look where I've come from. But it starts by just a little bit, and you're building. Mm-hmm. I don't think hope in this community, I really don't believe it. It's like, oh, there it is. I just have it, and it just blossomed just like that. I think it is work.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That you actually make the hope is what you're suggesting.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I like that, Terry. How do I top that now?
You will. You have your ways.
As far as hope goes, I could tell you, I was in a place, and I'm speaking from my perspective, obviously, where I felt completely helpless, you know, and, lost the sense. You know, it's hard to be a man and be married to somebody for 30-ish years, and you can do nothing really of significance to help them. It is such, yeah, it's hard for a lot of men to cope with that, you know, and I will say that. But with that being said, with the work like Terry was talking about, and the understanding that it truly can be in so many ways better on the other side. You know what I mean? You just have to be patient and show some grace in the process.
Beautifully said. I love both of your hearts and just your passion to encourage and help people. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on Hope Survives podcast today. I know that I was blessed by your conversation, and I know our listeners will be too.
Thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Christabel. You're awesome. Keep up the good work yourself too, please. Yeah.
Thank you. You guys too. So I'll let our listeners know they can get in touch with you on your podcast. As we talked about earlier, you have social media for that. So A Battle Within. So you can search that on Facebook or Instagram, wherever you like to go, and connect with them.
Yep.
Sounds good. Thank you guys so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned as more episodes will be coming each week. And check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.